welcome into this week's episode of FKC Fantasy Hour. We're back. It is the three of us. We are in the saddle again. It's Mike B. I am joined, as always, by the fat guys themselves. Rhino.
What's good?
Just living the dream, one ACL at a time.
I see that. How much?
Does anybody know the going rate for an ACL? I heard there's a quarterback in New York that could use one.
Yeah.
I also heard what's the going rate for an Achilles, because another member of the Minnesota Vikings tore theirs last week. Mm. You know what? Can we talk about that for a minute before we get too deep in the show? What the fuck is it with Minnesota and Achilles?
Oh, maybe they never watched Troy.
That makes sense. Craig, what's up?
How are we? Loving life.
I'm drinking a soda out of an LA Dodgers cup because nice. Sports.
Deportes.
Mas deportes. We're here to talk about all things fantasy as always. We had a fun little conversation pre-show about the launching of the brand new Mikey B Dynasty League.
New news. So,
yeah. New news. We're gonna peel back the layers of this thing. It's gonna be an 8-team league. We're gonna do something different with the playoffs. The 1 and the 2 are gonna play each other in the first round. The 3 and the 4 are gonna play them each other. So the winner of the 1-2 goes automatically to the finals. The loser's guaranteed at least third place money. So you know, if you finish in the top two, you're guaranteed to probably at least make your money back.
I think that's fair too as well. I think that's how you should do it.
Yeah, we're only taking four. The bottom four will all be entered into a draft lottery. Obviously, there will be penalties for tanking and obvious tanks. So to keep the league running smoothly, as the commissioner, I'll be the one that's to keep charge of that. We're going to do something different with the team. It's the teams themselves. One quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, three flex. As you heard, no tight end, but you can start one if you get him as a flex. But we're not going to force you to start a tight end because, like we've talked about on the show, if you don't have a top four tight end, who gives a shit? Because the tight end position, it's pretty much, especially now that Dallas Goedert's hurt, it's basically Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, and Sam Laporta.
Accurate.
More on that later because we are going to go over the rankings as always. We always do. And then we're going to do something different with no kickers, but kickers. It's going to be defense / special teams. Basically, you're going to get the kicker for the defense that you select. So you're a team that drafts a middle-of-the-road defense but has a guy who's going to put up 3 or 4 50-yard field goals in a game. It's going to save you.
Yeah.
So we got some fun stuff coming up. We'll talk about that more over the coming weeks because we're going to do that draft probably a little bit earlier than the other drafts just because of the Dynasty League format. But we'll figure that stuff off air. We'll talk about it, obviously, more as we progress through the regular season. But we're sitting here now. Where are we at? Week 10? We're going into week 10.
Yep.
We're knocking on the door of the road to the fantasy football playoffs. Before we get into that, no new updates on the Desmond Ridder watch because Desmond Ridder sucks.
He gone.
Aaron Hernandez.
He gone.
See. But the funny thing was is listening to the Huddle Up guys this evening before we got on, they do a segment called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And my ugly was the Atlanta fraud cons, as they call them. Finding a way to lose to a quarterback who hasn't taken a snap from the center, knows none of the wide receivers' names, and then one of the wide receivers gets a concussion in the game, basically leaving him with the ghost of Justin Jefferson.
He got Jordan that Tuesday. Addison. He got that Tuesday, my guy.
And he has to come in the game because Clayton Toon gets a fucking concussion and beats the Atlanta Falcons.
Buddy, you know how painful that was for me. That was a 3-team parlay right there. I lost. Buddy, can we fucking 4th and 16?
How does he still have a job?
I don't know.
How does he have incriminating evidence on Arthur Blank? Does he have nudes in his phone? Does he have something he doesn't want the world to see? Because at the end of the day, how the fuck does Bijan Robinson have one carry from inside the five all season? But we're letting Jonnu fucking Smith run the football.
Huck it, chuck it. Let's go.
He is not Taysom Hill.
Hey, Heineke was not the answer either, by the way. I would have much rather had Ridder in that game.
I would have much rather just hand the ball off 74 times a game.
Hey, Heineke got me like 20 points and two quarterback. I didn't win.
He threw like three picks. It was fucking god awful.
I mean, to be fair, Josh Allen threw a couple of interceptions too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but he's been doing that.
But what I'm saying is how the fuck are we sitting here talking to you right now? We all of us.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson was the snap number one overall pick.
Yep.
Best running back coming out in some time. He's had one carry inside the five.
Yeah.
Tyler Algier is getting more goal line carries. Jonnu Smith is getting more goal line carries than your number one fucking pick. What the fuck are we doing in Atlanta?
I don't know. And they have a shot to win that fucking division too, is the scary part.
Literally, they're playing to lose the division. They're like, nah, we're good.
Maybe 4-4. We're good.
Seventh pick overall.
Yeah. And don't play them. Let's not play them.
I mean, I mean, honestly, I still think that's the smart pick for Atlanta. It's just Arthur Smith's a moron.
Yeah.
I mean, Arthur Smith is just a dumb motherfucker because at the end of the day, you got a guy who you could use as a weapon to help you score, last time I checked, that's the goal in football.
Yeah. I think he caught like 4 or 5 balls, couple games, week 1, 2, 3, probably. I had him on my team. I know he had a reception touchdown.
That's what I'm saying. He had a receiving touchdown to start.
Yep. I don't even think he's in for 10 plays anymore. The last 2 weeks. I traded him in Manny's league, by the way.
I don't blame you.
Everybody's like, oh, gave up too much. I'm like, for what? That headache? No thanks. I got Tyler Algier on the bench. I got the starting running back. I'm good.
Yeah, let's talk about players drafted after Bijan Robinson. Jalen Carter. Probably would rather have him because at least he'd be able to stop the run.
Yeah.
Two offensive linemen that I could give less than one fuck about. One of them's in Chicago. They probably fucked him up.
Yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs. I would probably still want Robinson. I think Gibbs has looked good, but
it wouldn't matter. He wouldn't know how to use them anyway. Either one of them. Nope. So fucking next. next.
Lucas Van Ness in Green Bay. Who cares? Will McDonald, who gives a shit. Emmanuel Forbes of the Commanders, the corner. That's cool. Here's the guy that I would want. And it's a shame that this guy got hurt because he was actually my defensive rookie of the year prior to the injury. That was Christian Gonzalez, the corner for New England. He was having a great year prior to the injury. Jack Campbell in Detroit at linebacker, Jackson Smith in Jigba. I mean, do I care because Desmond Ridder would be throwing it to him? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no offense to JSN. I think he's a great wide receiver. Same with Quentin Johnson. Same with Jordan Flowers or Zay Flowers. Same with Jordan Addison. But honestly, I could give less than one fuck because
don't matter. Catching you to, yeah,
right. Desmond Ridder.
Well, that's why we thought Bijan would be, but you know, 25 carries a game.
I get it with, you know, you get that stud type running back, you know, that you got for the next 5 to 7 years. But did they have other needs? Did they need an offensive tackle? Did they need a corner? You know, like other needs that would have been more important to your entire team than just a running back.
Quarterback? You going to say it?
I mean, really?
You going to say it? Should I say it?
They should have traded up and drafted Anthony Richardson?
Well, you're not
Will Levis or any fucking, who, you know.
Obviously, you're not taking the quarterback because you're stuck with the 40-year-old Desmond Ridder, who's in his
second
year as an NFL quarterback.
I mean,
was he on a doctor plan or something?
No, lawyer. Injury attorney.
He was in a med school? Dude, he looks like 40.
I think, didn't he play like minor league baseball too or something? I think he might have been
in the 80s.
He's on the Brandon Whedon scale.
Yeah, exactly.
Plays baseball till he's 24, goes to Oklahoma State for 4 years, comes out at 30, You know, it works. It's the Brandon Whedon scale.
Who was and Winky too? Wasn't that?
Yeah, the Chris Winky. Yeah, the Chris Winky scale. Yeah, huh? Yeah. Fucking clown.
28 rookie.
Yeah. He just sits there and he's like, fucking like that old fucking like dad who smokes 3 packs of Newports a day, and he's like, Will Levis, quarterback, rookie. Buddy, you look like you're 64. What the fuck do you mean, rookie? Desmond Ritter. Buddy, fuck, take a breath. Honestly, when you look at the draft, like, honestly, this is this year's draft. CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson pre-injury, Devin Witherspoon, Jalen Carter, the receivers at the end of the draft, Sam Laporta in the second round, and then a big box of who gives a shit.
Yep.
Because that's kind of where we're at right now in the NFL draft. Because the offensive linemen haven't been playing well that they've been needing. The guys, and this is the thing, after drafting Bijan Robinson, like, the Lions got shit on for drafting Jahmyr Gibbs at 12. Could you imagine if the fucking Falcons were like, no, we want that guy because he went to Alabama instead of Bijan? You know what it is? You know what? Maybe I figured it out. Arthur Smith hates the Big 12. Fuck him. Fuck Texas. Fuck Oklahoma. Fuck him. Maybe he's got some hatred.
I just don't think he knows how to coach, my guy.
He's got some hate in his heart.
I've watched some Atlanta Falcons football, dude. It's god awful. I'm telling you right now. If you don't have Young Hoo, you ain't got nobody on that team.
I done figured it out. This motherfucker was born in Memphis, Tennessee. If you don't play football in the SEC, you don't play football.
You know, Bijan
Robinson is a scrub.
You know who his dad is?
Yeah,
the owner of fucking FedEx. Okay. He's got fucking billions, and he's dumb as rocks.
Do you want to hear the Arthur Smith coaching tree or the coaching lineage? Grad assistant at UNC, where he went to school.
Yep.
He was a defensive quality control coach for 2 seasons in Washington.
Mm.
Defensive intern / administrative assistant at Ole Miss for a year. He was a defensive quality control coach in 2011 for the Titans. He took the offensive quality control coach job for the same team in 2012. Offensive line / tight end assistant in 2013. 2014-2015, he was an assistant tight end coach.
Mm.
2016-2018 was the tight end coach. 2019-2020, he was the Titans offensive coordinator. And now he's the Atlanta Falcons fucking head coach. Hold on. For a guy who was a tight end assistant or a tight end coach for 4 fucking years, you really know how to use Kyle Pitts, you dumb fuck?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
Buddy, I hope he's gone. Just blow it up.
You were the offensive coordinator for Derrick Henry. You're a tight end coach. You don't know how to run the ball, and you don't know how to use Kyle Pitts. How do you have a job?
Not for long. NFL.
What the fuck are we doing? Dude is garbage.
My dad owns FedEx.
Yep. You don't give a fuck.
How do you have a job?
You know what?
You don't need FedEx, a job, dude.
Put the FedEx truck in pads. Guarantee you won't hand the ball to it.
Yep. Not 20 times.
Not 7 times.
Yeah. Actually, they are a good running team. It's just they use their number one draft pick to do it.
Jesus.
That's right, scary. You know
playoffs.
Huh?
Saving them for the playoffs.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, bud. Whatever you say. This week, a 31-28 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Let's
23-21. Last second field goal.
31-28, last second field goal. Bijan Robinson, 11 carries for 51 yards. Tyler Algier, 12 catches for 39 yards. Heinicke had 3 carries. Cordero Patterson had 1, as did Jonnu Smith for some fucking reason.
Jonnu Smith went off 5 for 100, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? He knows how to use that tight end, but he doesn't know how to use fucking Kyle Pitts, the more athletic version of the tight end.
That's what I was saying. Jonnu fucking Smith. Where has he been?
4 catches for 56 yards for Kyle Pitts. 5 catches for 100 yards for Jonnu Smith.
Good job.
2 catches for 8 yards for Mr. Bijan.
Yeah.
Did anyone know that Van Jefferson was a member of the Falcons?
I had no idea.
I did.
The more you know.
I did because
no blues.
last week, and I lost by like six, and he only got me like 3 points.
Mm.
But yeah, I knew he was there.
I had no idea.
Do we want to do Bijan Robinson rushing stat line
for the season?
For the season,
sure. Yeah,
103 carries, 517 yards, one touchdown, 28 catches, 197 yards, and two touchdowns.
That ain't bad.
What's their remaining schedule?
Let's take a gander. The Atlanta Falcons' finishing stretch is they play at Arizona, home against New Orleans, at the goddamn Jets, versus Tampa Bay, at Carolina, Indy at home, at Chicago, at New Orleans.
Whoa. All right, so of those games, four of them are against tougher run teams. It's hard to run on New Orleans. They got to play them twice.
It's hard to run on the Jets.
It's hard to run on the Bears.
That's four.
So if you figure even in those games, he gets 50 to 60 a game, and they've had their bye yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so.
So they've played, what's their record? 5-3 or 5?
No, I'm sorry. They have their bye. I'm sorry, they have their bye week after this week against Arizona.
4-5, right?
They are 4-5. They play Arizona, then they have the bye week, then they play New Orleans at home.
Eight games left.
Yep.
Right? So they have eight games left, and four of them are against teams that are probably going to hold him under 100 rushing.
Yeah.
And five of them are on the road.
Yeah, and if you're behind, you're not running the ball. Wow, I would take the over in the touchdowns, but the yardage might be tough.
What do we set the over under?
We just said, yeah, I'll take it. He's got one attempt inside 5 yards. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I was gonna say, hold on. Are you hoping that he busted from the fucking 40? Because he ain't getting anything inside the goal line. We've proven this. Yeah. I just read the stat.
But you guys know that teams coming out of the bye, they regroup, they change, they work on a whole lot of shit for the 2 weeks and stuff. So teams do make changes. The yardage,
you know what? I was going to say, hopefully it's by firing him.
Yeah, the coaching change, yeah.
But he shaved the mustache. It's a start.
Dude, he could shave the Falcon logo in his chest hair.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. How do you have a fucking running back that you drafted at 8 and you get in the goal line area and you're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're good.
You're good, bro.
Here.
Hold on. Get in there.
Hold on. You ready? FedEx.
Yeah. Hand off left side FedEx truck. Nope. Can't get him to carry. Hold on.
Always delivers. Come on, Tyler. Get in there.
Tyler, get in there. Fucking wild.
Wow. All right. We just went off an Atlanta Falcon tangent for about 20 minutes.
Yes. I should just rename this episode, Fuck You, Desmond Ritter.
Falcon Watch.
Yeah. Falcon Watch 2023.
Fucking in the dirty bird.
Mike hates Atlanta.
He does. He's got
I love really the city of Atlanta. God, I hate Arthur Smith. Jesus, I hate that guy. Wait.
Hey, right, and he didn't even go off on the fact that they have Chick-fil-A in their stadium, but it's closed on Sunday.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. You go back to episode 4, you can catch those highlights.
Son of a bitch. I swear to God.
There's a chicken sandwich waiting for somebody behind a chair. No, he's gone. He gone.
The Lord's chicken sandwich will be waiting for you inside this bag, my friend.
Ladies and
gentlemen, all the sauce.
Section 312, row 19, seat 5. Look under your seat. The Lord is definitely.
That's awesome.
God, please don't let fucking WrestleMania be at fucking Atlanta anytime soon. Fucking eating a fucking Lord's chicken sandwich on night one. Getting fucked on night two.
You ain't going then, huh? Night two.
I mean, hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go. Just might be the one.
You know what you should do? Yeah, just get like one of those like cannons or t-shirt guns and just start firing out nuggets just on Sunday.
Buy them on Saturday. Keep the receipt. Right.
Just come in Sunday firing nuggets at everybody, slingshot them. Just you get a nugget, you know, like Oprah. You'll be a hero, bro. All right, next topic. Next topic.
Oh, shit. Whew. All right, I'm dead.
Reel it back in. Let's go.
Oh, I can't breathe. Hands up, don't shoot.
How's the casting couch been, by the way, Craig? Haven't seen any videos lately. That's the one. You got something lodged right around here. Right, not so much here. Not so much here.
There's nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here.
Yeah. What is going on over there? All right, really? Ooh. Look at this. Jesus.
Dude, I'm fucked up. Oh, God, that hurts so bad.
Wow.
Almost as bad as it is to watch the Atlanta Falcons play football.
It's true.
All right, so let's talk about some injuries that took place because we have to do that. Danny Dimes no longer has an ACL.
He's got a nickel. That's all he's got now. He's missing a nickel. Go ahead.
I mean, it's still an injury that we got to talk about. I mean, sure, because here's what I'm going to say. I don't want any member of the fucking New York Giants that isn't Saquon Barkley for the rest of the year.
I don't even know if I want him either.
I mean, I'm glad I don't have him anywhere.
Yeah.
To be brutally honest, I'm really glad I don't have him anywhere.
I don't even think I watched the highlight because the Eagles game was on. I was like, the fucking Raiders were blowing him out. Who's playing quarterback? Oh, never mind.
Tony Bag of Meatballs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here on Sunday, and Nilda and Billy here, I put my second TV. So we're watching on cable, we're watching the Cowboys game, and I was being nice, and I put the Giant game on, and I'm just like,
that had to be painful.
They're bad.
They're so bad.
I guess I'll start. We started with Danny Dimes. Let's talk about positive news. Craig's already mentioned him. The return of the midget, Kyler Murray, as long as he gets through the rest of this week, will be activated and will play on Sunday. Safe to say that this is the Kyler Murray showcase, hoping to trade him in the offseason? Or am I out of my mind?
I mean, I don't think you're off at all. I think that's spot on. I mean, if they lose and he looks good, even better.
I mean, it all depends, though. I mean, you know, starting the season, everybody was talking about Caleb Williams. We're tanking for Caleb Williams. And ever since Caleb Williams' agent comes out and says,
tank for Drake May.
He wants ownership. The kid just hasn't done shit. So, I don't know. They're loaded with draft picks. If he gets them a couple of wins down the stretch, you know, we see how they play offensively going forward. You know, it depending upon what they need going into the offseason with all those picks, you know, I think they're in pretty good shape. Regardless, but yeah, they can walk away from him after the season, right?
No, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
No, I thought he got a big contract. I thought he got like a 5-year, 200 and something.
The midget?
Yeah,
he has a big contract.
Yeah, they signed him last year to like 210 or 240.
Yeah, it's some ridiculous number.
He was one of the first ones to get a big contract.
Correct. His contract last year.
4 years.
He signed. What was it?
I'm sorry.
Five for 230?
230.
Yeah, it was close.
With 160 of it being guaranteed?
Yep. Yeah, that's the same thing with Dimes. They're on the hook for, I think, 34, 36 mil next year, even if you don't play.
I mean, that's going to be tough, man. I mean,
that's a lot of dough, man. I don't know if anybody's going to be willing to take that contract.
He's on the books next year for 20, 37.
Yeah,
18, then 23, then 20, then 34 and 28.
Yeah, I can tell you a team that'll take the money.
Who?
The Las Vegas Raiders. Because he's better than Garoppolo. He's better than Aiden O'Connell. He's better than Brian Hoyer. And they ain't drafting fucking one of the fucking top three quarterbacks. They're winning too many games.
Yeah.
They're not getting Shadur. They're not getting Drake May. They're not getting
Penix.
They're not getting Caleb Williams. Nope.
I have to say, Caleb Williams looked good too. Even though he's losing, he still looks good, man.
Well, it's also because
that defense is fucking terrible.
Dick.
Oh, it's terrible, man. You got to score fucking 50 to win.
Welcome to the new Pac-12. If you don't score 50, you lose every week.
Yep. It's I don't think I'm Caleb Williams, man. I mean, I've been watching him this year. I think he.
I enjoy trolling. I enjoy trolling Trevor Williams or Caleb Williams. The only game that he's looked outlandishly bad in is the Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
He looked awful in that game.
Yeah.
The other games, he's looked to be a good, serviceable quarterback.
Some of his arm angles, the way he throws.
Correct.
I'm telling you, it's going to translate to the NFL. He's going to be good.
Oh, 1,000%.
I don't want to give him ownership, but I would definitely take him first overall over all of them.
Sure. The only other one that I would put in the conversation is Michael Penix Jr.
And, you know, I feel the same way.
I think it's the two of them. Drake May is in that three spot, and then I would put Shadur Sanders in the four spot.
I wouldn't put him that high, but that's just
Just because if you're going to rank the quarterbacks.
Right.
The four that are probably coming out are the four of them.
Yep.
If somebody else randomly decides to come out, then you can readdress who 3-4 is.
Right.
But when you look at it, Las Vegas, they're in that spot. Yep. You're not going to get one of them. So maybe they're a team that if you eat a little bit of the money on the back end, maybe we make the trade work. You know, there will be teams that think that Kyler Murray is the answer. Not that I agree with that.
Right.
But there will be teams that will think that he is an improvement over what they have. Looking at you, Baker Mayfield.
True.
Looking at you, Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of proven that he's not ready to be the next great Green Bay quarterback.
No.
There will be teams that, and you know what? Another team that may press the button because of the pieces that they already have. The Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Cousins is a free agent. They're not getting any of the rookies. They're going to be in the fucking running for a quarterback.
True.
I mean, there will be a team that looks at it and goes, our choices are Kyler Murray, Jimmy Garoppolo, or Ryan Tannehill, and they'll go, who gives us the best chance to win right now? It's probably Kyler.
That's why, if I was Arizona, I wouldn't play him. I'd sit him, let him
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You got to let him play a little bit because you got to showcase that he's healthy. You gotta let him see him throw the football. He's got to throw it. He's got to throw it with the zip. He's got to drive it with his legs because of the injury.
Yeah.
Now, if I am the Arizona Cardinals, I'm specifically telling Kyler Murray, throw the ball away. Do not tuck it and run. We are not designed running plays for him where he can re-tear it. I am going to basically be wearing the leg version of the Tua Tagovailoa air helmet on his legs. I'm going to basically tell him we ain't fucking hopefully breaking these things. We're literally going to play with kid gloves because your future value to this organization, whether you're here or not, is more important than us winning games when we're already 1-7.
That's why I'm saying I wouldn't bring him back.
If they were planning on keeping him, I would agree with what you're saying. But if you're planning on moving him, you got to show that he's healthy.
I'd wait 3 more weeks.
Why?
But let's also take into consideration he's getting $160 million guaranteed.
He already got that money.
What's that?
He already got that money.
I understand that. But you're also, you know, you got guys who, the younger guys, and look, I don't care if I'm older or what, you're just starting to see the entitlement with these younger guys. They get their money, they stop playing. I don't think he gives a fuck about the organization. Yes, he probably cares about his future, but right now, what are we talking about? A 26-year-old with $160 million in his bank account? He's going to play to however he wants to, wants his future. You know, I just don't think.
He's not doing what Deshaun Watson did and just purposely sitting out after they've cleared him.
But we don't know that yet. No. I'm not talking about the injury that he has now or that he's coming back from. That, you know, I'm talking about going forward. You know, if he's like, I'm going to sit out, you know.
He's never given me that vibe, though. Deshaun Watson has given me the vibe of, like, I'm good. I was good in Houston. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. But he's, like, Deshaun has given me those vibes. Kyler has never really given me that vibe. He's wanted to be out there. He's wanted to play football. I think you're going to have to tell Kyler Murray to tone it down, to not risk injuring something else in this 7 or 8 week trial by fire era that we're going into.
Yeah, I guess I'm just still with the whole how he was trying to hold the Oakland A's like hostage.
Yeah,
you know, to do this or do this, or I'm going to, you know.
I mean,
but now you throw $160 million in his pocket. Let's see how he is now. With that kind of money in his pocket, does he grow up and realize I still have another 10, 15, maybe whatever years left in the NFL?
You put all that money in his pocket and he has an opportunity to tell you that he doesn't want to play football, and he's telling you he wants to play football. That's the way I'm taking this. Because he could very well tell the Arizona Cardinals right now at 1-9, I don't want to play football.
Yeah.
And he's saying,
I'd say the same. We don't want you.
And to be brutally honest with you, fuck the Oakland A's. I would have held them hostage too, because that fucking piece of shit organization, we can go on an excursion about how big of a piece of shit that is. Yeah. But let's be real. Because at the end of the day, I would have held them hostage too. I would have wanted ownership. I would have pulled the Caleb Williams on the fucking Oakland A's. I want to own the O.co. County
College. But that's what I'm saying. You know, you got these guys who didn't play a fucking inning in anything or play one down in a professional sport, and they're coming out of college demanding all of this shit. Earning is what I'm saying.
It's the younger generation, Craig. They got everything fucking handed to them.
I'm just saying, if Kyler Murray just takes the keys to the fucking Lambo and just takes him fucking to the end zone every time, that's great. Or is he going to have the attitude where I got $160 million in my pocket and I don't care? That's all I'm saying going forward. You got to see which one you're going to see.
Correct. But what I'm saying is you've already put him on this left side because of what he did with a shit organization. At the end of the day, every person who's come out in the Major League Baseball draft says, I want this number. Whether they get it or not is a whole nother conversation. And none of those guys have played innings in professional baseball. Same thing with the National Football League. Oh, you're going to get paid X amount over the next 5 years. Okay. So when my contract comes up, of course I'm going to want all the money that I fucking made you in jersey sales and other revenues, and I'm going to want $160 million guaranteed because I am the star quarterback.
Or for your second contract, absolutely.
Correct. And that's what he did with this contract, getting $160 million guaranteed and getting $250 or $260 total. I mean, he did, and honestly, if the Arizona Cardinals could have built something around him, we wouldn't be talking about them potentially tanking for Caleb Williams and trying to trade him. We should be talking about Kyler Murray coming into his own and now having a guy who's become a fairly decent wide receiver in Hollywood Brown. You probably could have drafted a Marvin Harrison Jr. You probably could have added a couple extra pieces of that offense. And this should be the Arizona version of the Houston Texans right now. Instead, we're sitting here talking about at 1-9, we're showcasing Kyler Murray so we can pay him to play elsewhere. That's a problem. It's a problem with the organization.
It's not his guy, the coach. So, you know, that has a lot to do with it.
This is also a new coaching staff playing for, and he hasn't played for this guy.
You know what? Fuck it. Trade him to Atlanta.
Thank you.
Make them a fucking playoff team.
There they go. That actually makes the most sense.
Trade him to Atlanta. Put him with Bijan. Put him with Kyle Pitts. Go get a couple wide receivers for him. That team wins the South for the next 5 years.
Yep. If he stays healthy.
Even if he doesn't, and he can play 12 games a season like Lamar Jackson has the last 4 years. You don't think that over six games, Tyler Heinicke can keep him 3-3 and keep him in the playoff race? Probably. Because those three games are probably going to be against 1-17 Carolina, who gives a shit fucking Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield at quarterback, and Indianapolis and Houston. We'll find a way to go 500. Fuck it. Khalil Herbert, full participant in Tuesday's practice estimate. He's still on IR. Maybe we'll get him back in sometime soon. I honestly don't care about anything involved in the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields' thumb remains limited in the estimated practice report. I hope he comes back because he'll probably throw 7 interceptions, and I'm probably going to start whoever he's playing against on defense, so fuck him.
Hey, Ryan. Yeah. Teddy wanted me to say thank you.
Well, for me dropping him?
Yes.
Yeah, he's welcome.
Who'd you drop? Yeah.
Fucking Justin Fields 2 weeks ago. I'm done with that. Changed my team name, all of it.
Buddy, I would have into the fucking sun.
Punt. He said he can have him. Yeah, good. You got Dak. You're welcome.
big one for the Cincinnati Bengals. Jamar Chase, according to Zach Taylor, Monday, day-to-day with a back injury. Personally, I don't play him this week against Houston. We talked about this before going on air. I don't play him this week. I run with T. I run with Tyler Boyd. I run with Joe Mixon. You know, I go with the other guys. I give him the week off because the game afterwards is the more important one. It's the Thursday night game against Baltimore. I give him 10 days. I give him 11 days.
Yeah.
I need him more in that game than I do against Houston, because if we lose to Baltimore, we're 0-2 against them. Then we'd be 0-4 in the division. That game is more important than a game on the road, or a game against the Houston Texans this week. It's just, I get it. We're a fantasy football show, but as a football fan, the one next week against Baltimore is way more important.
I agree. But don't sleep on Houston.
Oh, honestly, I think there's a very strong chance we could lose to Houston.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
with or without him,
losing to Houston without him, but beating Baltimore with him
means more.
I'll take the offset there.
Yeah, agree.
Because that gives us a shot to still win the division.
Correct.
Being 0-2 against Baltimore means we almost have to run the table and they have to fall apart.
Yep.
So.
We talked about it. That division's going to beat each other up. And, you know, we said there's 4 teams would make it right now, playoff start. There's only going to be 2 out of there. We know that.
Correct. Leighton Vander Esch of the Dallas Cowboys remains without a concrete timetable for potential return due to a neck injury.
He had a big game, too.
Mm-hmm. David Montgomery the ribs, leaning towards playing this week against the Los Angeles Clippers. Might get him back. He'll probably cut in a little bit to the Jahmyr Gibbs thing, but I think they bring Monty back a little bit slower with the rib injury. So
he looked good, though. Gibbs looked good.
See, and that's why I'm saying I think they almost bring Monty back slowly.
Yep.
10 carries, 10 carries, yep. 15 carries. Start to build the – because ribs are a son of a bitch. You know, they feel good. Until you take the first hit to the ribs and you're like, oh shit, I forgot I hurt my ribs.
Tastes good too.
Smothered, covered,
barbecued, grilled.
In the weirdest portion of the show, the fact that the backup running back for the Texans kicked the game winning field goal.
Yes.
Kai Fearbin, expected to miss 3 weeks due to a strained quad that he suffered in the game against Tampa. Obviously, I expect a new kicker in Houston before the end of the week because I don't think they're going to let him kick field goals.
Nope.
No, that was Strain Quad.
No. I meant the running back.
That guy too.
No new update on the Zay Jones knee injury.
How has that guy not been put on the IR?
Who, Zay Jones?
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Yeah,
he hasn't played since week one.
No clue. What are you talking about? He played recently. It's been about 3 weeks he's been out now.
Zay Jones last played, as I look up the stats right now.
Six, probably.
His last game was the game against Buffalo in London. He had three catches for 23 yards and a touchdown on October 8th. It's been a month.
Okay.
And how many games before that?
I believe he's played in three games.
Oh, he missed the early part too, right? He missed the first 2 weeks, then came back. And
He played on September 10th against Indianapolis. He had five catches for 55 yards and a touchdown. Played the next week against Kansas City. No catches on six targets. And then was out until the London game against Buffalo, where he had three catches on five targets for 23 yards and a score. So far in 2023, Zay Jones's stat line, eight catches on 18 targets for 78 yards and two touchdowns.
Hmm. And he hasn't practiced this week.
No. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been ruled out. Who gives a shit? Joshua Palmer, knee injury, placed on injured reserve this week by the Los Angeles Chargers. Does that mean that they're finally going to use Quentin Johnston, or is this just going to be Austin Eckler, Donald Parham, Gerald Everett, and Keenan Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's taken way too long for Quentin Johnston to pan out.
I thought this last game would have been the one where we at least saw something. Too.
Exactly.
I mean, I especially thought it because Keenan Allen was getting sauce.
Yeah.
And then DJ
Reed. He's the number two.
That's what I'm saying. I would have thought at least he would have had targets. I didn't even see him get targets.
I got snake bit too by that late Austin Eckler touchdown yesterday.
So on Sleeper, I had the over on his receiving / rushing yards. Missed that by 11 yards.
Oh, wow.
81. He finished with 70 total. He had like 45 at the half.
In Blake's
league. He also dropped like five passes that probably
would have been
whatever.
Yeah, he had Eckler. We had Jets D and Garrett Wilson going. Cool. And it was back and forth. We were up three, and then that fucking fumble, and then out of bounds at the one. Boom. Yep, lost by two.
Kyren Williams. Sean McVay said Tuesday he expects him to be back in time to suit up for the Cardinals game in week 12. So,
oh, yay.
Light at the end of the tunnel there.
Yay.
Let's see. Wow, hold on. Back on October 30th, the Rams said Stetson Bennett is less than likely to return to the team this season with, quote, an illness.
Yeah, alcohol. Yeah,
he took time off a while ago, right?
Yeah, that was back on October 30th. I literally just was scrolling and I was like, an illness?
Yeah.
Is this your way of saying that he went somewhere that he
trying to get me go to rehab? I say no, no, no.
Amy Winehouse, if she would have went to rehab.
She would not be on the same Aaron Hernandez scaled.
No.
Jalen Waddle, knee is in, quote, a good spot and definitely still sore after the loss to Kansas City and Frankfurt.
Is that a guy you're disappointed in this year too, by the way?
Oh, super disappointed in him this year. But I think that's also
Craig said Olave, but I would put Waddle above him.
I would too.
What, disappointed in Waddle?
I mean, yes. Where you drafted him and the production you're getting.
Yeah. Well, all right. I had him in guillotine up until this past week because I got eliminated. But he was consistently getting, 10, 11, 12 targets a game.
But how many did he catch?
How many games
did he miss?
I watched a lot of Dolphin games this year because of Waddle. They – And what it just seems like is teams are like, what's the point in double teaming Tyreek? They're just, you know, they change their coverages. They'll pay some games, they'll pay more attention to Waddle. Some games you gotta try to double team Tyreek. But Waddle, I don't know. I didn't see anything like disappointing.
All right, here's the Jalen Waddle stat lines.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, just fire off the stats.
All right, he's played in 8 games. Okay, Chargers game shootout. 5 catches for 78 yards. New England, 6 for 86. Buffalo, 5 for 46. Giants, 10 for 35 and a, oh, excuse me, 5 for 35 and a touchdown. Carolina, 7 for 51 and a touchdown. Eagles, 6 for 63. New England, 7 for 121 and a touch. Kansas City, 3 for 42 yards.
So he got one game over 100. He got
banged up in the Miami game.
What?
He got banged up in the Miami game.
He plays for Miami.
He played
the Kansas City game.
Okay, yeah. But before that, he has one game of over 100 yards, and in that game, he has a touchdown. So he has a touchdown in 2 other games. And let's look at this. A shootout against the Chargers, 4 catches. New England the first time, 4 catches. A game that they thought that they were going to blow the Buffalo Bills out, 4 catches. 46, 86, and 78 yards. He has
one game 40, over 100.
He has 40 catches for 522 yards and 3 touchdowns. Tyreek has doubled that.
That was a high second if
we're talking about drafting a guy at like the 13 or the 14. And we're talking about Chris Olave being a bust and being down this year. You got to put Jalen Waddle right there with him.
Okay, I understand all of that. All right, the Giant game, 10 targets. The Carolina game.
It don't matter how many targets, Craig.
I get it, but he's getting volume is what I'm saying.
Tua's noodle arm can't even throw the ball, man. It's not his fault either. I'm not blaming him, but. Stats are stats. He's got 3 touchdowns and 500 yards. It's disappointing.
I mean, let's compare apples to grapefruits then. That's the Jalen Waddle stat line, okay? I'm going to go find the Chris Olave stat line now.
And you could give me Devontae Smith too, because I drafted him and I'm disappointed, so.
Okay, so Chris Olave has played in 9 games. In those games, Tennessee, 8 catches, 112 yards. Carolina, 6 catches, 86 yards. Green Bay, 8 catches, 104.
It's 2 games over 100.
Tampa Bay, 1 catch, 4 yards. New Orleans, 2 catches, 12 yards, and a touchdown. Ooh. Houston, 7 catches, 96 yards. Jacksonville, 7 catches, 57 yards. Indianapolis, 5 catches, 46 yards. Chicago, 6 catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown. And half of those games were started by Jameis Winston.
Yep.
Yeah, but the one thing with New Orleans, they have the fucking biggest vulture in all the fantasy sports.
Well, yeah.
They also did 4 weeks later. Did get Kamara back in week 4, and Kamara's getting like 50,000 targets and 50 receptions a game. He also has, and Derek Carr sucks.
And you know he's got that guy called Tyreek Hill next to him, right?
But that's what I'm getting at. Before Devon Two Chains got fucking hurt, before fucking Raheem Mostert got banged up for a couple games. He's got Tyreek Hill on the other side. We're talking about a guy that people were drafting at 15 overall.
Yep.
Olave were drafting at 15, 17, 18. They're comparable. They both had shit years. They're both on the downside of it. Like, if you drafted Chris Olave, or if you kept Chris Olave, looking at myself, I have Chris Olave in the Dynasty League. Trust me. I've been more than frustrated.
Yeah, me too.
All season.
Yep.
But if you drafted Jalen Waddle, you got to feel the same way.
Right.
Well, I picked him up in guillotine. I didn't draft him. But
okay.
same thing. And the Devontae Smith, the Devontae Smith train. Let's read his stat line off real quick.
Terrible.
All the people at home. He's played in.
Hurt on Sunday.
Smitty got he did get hurt, but he's all right. Okay. Yeah, he limped at the end, but he was all right.
So he's played in 9 games. Week 1 against New England, 7 for 47 and a touch. Week 2 against Minnesota, 4 catches, 131 yards and a touch.
That's a big one.
Tampa Bay, 4 for 28. Washington, 7 for 78. Rams, 1 for 6. Jets, 5 for 44. Miami, 4 for 49. Washington, 7 for 99 and a touch. Dallas, 3 for 51 and a touch. 42 receptions on 60 targets for 533 yards and 4 scores.
So not much better than Waddle.
So Waddle, 40 catches on 59 targets for 522 yards and 3 touches. They're basically the same. It's just Devontae Smith has played one more game.
Yep. Disappointed, all of them.
You know, I understand, and Ryan, you can attest to it. Your name in the Vampire League is wide receiver. You,
yep.
If you don't have one of the top 5 wide receivers, it's kind of wide receiver mew. Because at this point, you probably could have picked somebody up off the waiver wire who scored you just as many points as the guy that you wasted second round draft picks on.
Yep.
I'm getting more points out of Michael Pittman Jr. that I drafted in the 3rd or 4th round than I am out of fucking Jalen Waddle and Chris Olave.
Show me Nico Collins.
Yeah, Nico Suave.
Show me Tank Dell, Craig.
Show me the waiver wire edition of Puka Nacua.
Yep.
Show me.
You think their value's there because of the quarterback, because of the team. He was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. So was Devontae. So was Chris Olave. It's not like we thought these guys couldn't do it again. And they still might get there. You just thought it would be more. That's all.
I mean, like I said, it's also hard whenever Tyreek Hill has fucking almost 1,300 receiving yards.
True.
And we'll see what Carson Wentz can do with the Rams.
Facts.
I mean, if they're smart, it's 3-step drops and get the ball out of his fucking hands.
Yeah.
I mean, get the ball into Puka, get the ball to Cooper, get the ball out of the backfield. Like, just be smart. Don't matter.
He'll find a way to fuck it up.
I think that I don't know if they win another fucking football game this year. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
Whether it's him, John David Booty, fucking Stetson Bennett, fucking Stetson for men. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. They're going to be dog water.
Yeah.
Fucking dog water.
Yep.
You know what? I heard they tried to call Matt Ryan. You know what he said? No thanks.
Yeah. I'm good in the booth.
You know what? You have no offensive line. I'd rather not die.
Yeah.
Why Matt Stafford can't fucking play football.
Jesus.
Let's be real here. That offensive line in fucking LA is dog.
Hashtag fuck them picks.
Mm.
Hey, honestly, like we've said, they knew what they were getting themselves into. They did it to win a Super Bowl. They got their Super Bowl. They're okay with going 4-13 for the next 2 years.
True.
Don't care. They went all in knowing that their window was abruptly closing. Cam Akers, torn left Achilles. We talked about that. KJ Osborne suffered a concussion in that game. He is in concussion protocol. This should be a fun one. Josh Dobbs, obviously. There. Jaren Hall, concussion protocol.
I would have won that bet if he stayed in. Fuck.
They have activated, or I'm sorry, they could designate to return from IR. Former San Francisco 49er great Nick Mullins. Who gives a shit?
And they still won. And like, that was my argument with Craig taking JJ in the Vampire was, who the fuck's going to throw him the ball?
Buddy, I hope you start him. I hope you start him. I hope you start him every fucking week because I don't know that Josh Dobbs, Nick Mullins, you, me, fucking Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz is going to fucking matter.
Nope.
We'll see.
Right. But that's the thing. That's your response to it is we'll see. Yes, we will. Because at the end of the day, their quarterback play has taken a significant hit without Kirk Cousins. He's going
to throw the fucking ball to him 15 times a game. They are in the wild card right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow a 3-win Atlanta Falcons team is a fucking playoff team right now.
4 wins.
Oh, I'm sorry. 4. My bad. Should be 5. They should be winning the fucking division right now if they could have beaten the fucking Justin Jefferson-less Minnesota Vikings. And I'm supposed to believe that Josh Dobbs is the fucking answer. Nick Mullins, baby.
This is the same Josh Dobbs.
Mullins.
1-7 in Arizona, correct? Or 1-6?
No. See, this is the same Josh Dobbs that everyone gave me shit about whenever I was like, they shouldn't have benched him.
Or wood and nails so we could just do the crucifixion. Across the leg. There we go.
Okay.
I mean,
the fact by the way, they didn't have his jersey in the gift shop either in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I think it was in the hair care product section.
Jesus Christ.
Guy's a millionaire. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I mean, kind of look like him a little bit, correct?
I mean, I honestly don't think he's a millionaire. I think you're being way too fucking.
He's a 100,000-aire?
Yeah. Yeah. That guy's getting fucking league minimum.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Oh, he's looking up. He's checking his net worth now?
600. Don't look up his net worth. Go on StatTrack or StatCast or whatever and look
that's
up.
That's where
his, I go. Yeah. Because that net worth means dog shit.
Yeah. How long has he been in the league?
Fucking not long enough.
He's, as of right now, he's on a 1-year, $2 million contract.
Yeah. Agent and government get half.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, he's on a fucking 1-year for $700K because between the child support, the fucking taxes. State taxes in Arizona, now in Minnesota, yeah, fuck that guy. Yeah. He ain't got fucking shit to his name. Fuck that.
Hey, he's still a millionaire. All right, Craig, I'll give it to you.
It says it.
Yeah, millionaire.
Wait, career earnings? Ooh.
5.7. 5.7 over fucking 35 years in the NFL.
7 years, 7.4.
Ooh, cool. That's cool. A year.
Cool, that's cool. Curious case of Benjamin Button. Fucking next thing you know, he's going to be 78, making $7 million a year.
No, don't worry, Craig. He'll be throwing fucking 15 targets to JJ in no time. You got it.
Year when you're 78?
No. No, because I'm not going to make it that long. Diabetes is going to get me before then. I'm aware. Wow. The BDs will get me long before I make that much money over fucking 7 years.
You still have 10 toes, right?
Allegedly.
10 toes down, baby.
Yeah.
Do you look or do you feel for the 10 toes?
I kind of wiggle and just hope they're all there.
Okay.
It's more of an optimal illusion.
Right.
Hold on. Let's play a game since we're in the mood today. The Minnesota Vikings final stretch.
Let's go.
They are currently a game and a half behind the Minnesota Vikings. Excuse me, behind the Detroit Lions.
No, they're not winning. They're not winning. Yeah, we know that. Next.
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
At Denver. Chicago. Bye week. At Las Vegas.
Ooh.
At Cincinnati.
Ooh.
Detroit, Green Bay, at Detroit. You better hope they throw it to him 75 times a game.
I really hope they do.
Well, they can target him 75 times, but guess what? If I'm every defense, I'm triple coverage in that motherfucker.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Look, it could help you. It could hurt you. Either way, I didn't have much of my team for you to take anyway. I told you, you got Garrett Wilson or fucking what are his Andrews. Those were the two I would have taken. Or Trevor Lawrence, like you said, but then you got to give me fucking Burrow. That makes sense.
Put a backup quarterback in a one quarterback league.
Exactly, and you have Burrow, and you got to ship. You know, just like you did CJ Stroud. I get it. You don't want to do it. Totally understandable.
Garrett Wilson. 46 catches for 549 yards and 2 touchdowns with Zach Wilson at quarterback.
Yeah, that was my first round pick. Then I went.
God, I wish. Second. God, I wish. I wish we would have seen what Aaron Rodgers would have been able to do with that fucking weapon. Ugh.
So that's a disappointment. That might be the biggest one for me personally. All across.
I mean, I see, but I don't think. I think you went into it knowing that you, like, you had to have Aaron Rodgers for it. Like, it was 1A, 1B. For Garrett Wilson to succeed, it had to be with Aaron Rodgers. Because you saw what Zach Wilson did last year.
He was still a 1,000-yard receiver last year, rookie of the year. I mean, it wasn't like
he was slouch. He's halfway to 1,000 yards right now at the halfway point of the year. It's not like he can't get to 1,000. Yes, the last two games have looked... 87. That's what I'm saying. The last two games have looked like dog shit. But, like, he can still get to 1,000. It's not like he's at 300 receiving yards at week 9. Wilson
is fucking terrible.
Yeah, he is. Terrible. Here you go. Gun to your head. You want Zach Wilson or Josh Dobbs?
Dobbs.
No, I want the bullet.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
give put me out of my fucking misery. I want neither one of them.
Give me the gun. I'll take it.
I don't want either one of them. Fuck them.
Good luck, Craig. That's all I'm saying. You're going to be good anyway. You don't. It doesn't even matter. Like you said, you don't need them. You stash them on the bench, and if you do, great. And if not, you fucking took them from me.
Dallas Goedert, fractured forearm. Probably going to be out a couple weeks. Yeah, that sucks for me. I have Goddard in the Dynasty League, so looking to add a tight end there.
That shit looked intentional, too, by the way.
Yeah, it did. It looked real, real fucking ugly.
He was holding on to that shit and kind of fucking – it was ugly. I didn't like that.
Yeah, not a fan.
I got him in two leagues.
It's tough because he was just finding his fucking stride, too.
Debo Samuel was on the field for the informal practice session on Monday and appears to have no limitations while going through individual and group drills, according to Matt McCoyo of the NBC Sports Bay Area. They need him back, and they need him back as much as they need the next guy back, and that is Trent Williams, the offensive tackle, looking to return to practice following the upcoming bye. I'll tell you this much right now, for those of you at home that are listening to this, I will be recording the midseason award show on the Student of the Game podcast with our good friend Kyle Nash. A little bit later, probably like Wednesday morning, we're doing it. I'm going to sarcastically tell him, because he is a former collegiate offensive lineman and a big San Francisco 49ers fan. When we get to the MVP talk, I believe my MVP for the first half of the year is Trent Williams, because they've proven that without him, the San Francisco 49ers are kind of mid.
Yeah. And Debo too. I mean,
well, I'm just saying the offense, but there's two offensive linemen right now that I would say are the MVPs of the fucking National Football League. One of them is Trent Williams. The other one is Jason Kelce. You want to know why? Because the brotherly shove wouldn't work if he wasn't in the fucking trenches fucking burying people.
Yeah. Lane Johnson too. Like, sure. Go ahead.
But I'm just saying the center is where they're going right off of fucking his ass.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, Lane Johnson is probably one of, if not the best offensive lineman in football.
Right.
I will be the first one to say that.
Right.
But
yeah, Kelce. Yeah.
With the brotherly shove, like that, you're going right off of his ass. I mean,
it's all run through him.
And that's the thing. It's, we can't stop this play. It's an unstoppable play. Because Jason Kelce's doing his job. Other teams have tried it, and it doesn't work because their center is not to that level.
Right. Agreed, 100%. You're not going to get an argument out of me on this one.
Yeah, didn't think I would. Tampa Bay, Treylon Burks, concussion, unlikely to play in Week 8. Scary situation with that one. Went down, was stretchered off of the field.
He had one like that last year, too.
Remember? Yeah, this is like...
caught that touchdown.
Yeah. And just... wasn't it in New Orleans where, like, they... Or was that Olave in the...
That was Olave.
He got spun to the ground and just kind of, like, just...
Yeah, came down with it. No, Burks was down the middle, fucking got hammered. Oh, that's
right, it was. Down. He got hammered in that one. Yep, you're right. Are we almost scared that this is like to a level bad?
Yeah.
Two seasons in a row, two big ones.
This one looked nasty too.
This one looked like when he hit the ground, he was just out.
Done.
Like, it was out. Like, all right, we're just gonna turn the lights off, we're at home.
Yeah.
Like, there was no coming back from that one. Like, didn't he? I don't even know if he moved for the first 30 seconds when he was down. Moving.
Yeah.
Didn't look good. Structured him off. Obviously, he gave the thumbs up on the way out. You know, obviously, we'll monitor that situation.
Yeah.
Also in Tennessee, Coach Mike Vrabel announced today Will Levis, starter, permanently moving forward. Ryan Tannehill will secure the backup role. Maybe that means the Malik Willis era in Tennessee is over. Good riddance.
See
you. Desmond Ridder 2.0. Bye. Yeah. Curtis Samuel, questionable. That's really it for the injury report right now going through the National Football League as we record this on Tuesday. Our rankings, because we go through the weekly rankings, waiver wire pickups, Noah Brown, and obviously Keaton Mitchell. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. If you want to pick up Keaton Mitchell, it sounds nice. Personally, I don't know that I want him. I don't want the headache of having to think I have to start him, because I feel like the Baltimore backfield is just getting murkier by the week. Lamar's running it. He's running it. Gus is running it in the red zone. Fucking Justice Hill is still there. There's a lot of chefs in that kitchen. Yeah. I don't know if I want a piece of it.
It's a committee. If they're smart, you do a committee going forward.
Oh, if you're the Baltimore Ravens organization, yes. If you're someone that's listening to this show looking for fantasy football advice, I don't know that I want any piece of the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, backfield. I mean, no, it's giving good advice is, like you said, staying away from them, knowing that they're a committee, and you never know who's – it just doesn't seem like it's going to go with the hot hand if you can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing to do is just keep fresh legs if you're going with three guys, you know.
Christian Watson left Sunday's game with multiple injuries. Obviously, if he misses time, Romeo Doubs is someone. If he's available in any of your leagues, I would say add and stash kind of thing. Cade Otton, same thing in Tampa Bay.
He had a big game.
Yep. If you're one of the three leagues in all of North America that Taysom Hill is still available, feel free to go pick him up before somebody else does. Really feel like this conversation. I feel like this conversation is mute because I think everybody basically has him. Yeah, if you don't have him, or if he's available on your waiver wire, please feel free to send me an invitation to that league. it's at fatkidcertified at gmail.com. Feel free to send me an invite. I'd love to play in your league. I'd love to take all your money, because if he's still available, you guys are fucking wild. All right, rankings. Top 10 quarterbacks. Number 10 is Jared Goff at the Chargers. Number 9 is Trevor Lawrence against against San Francisco. 8 is Sam Howell at Seattle. 7 is Justin Fields for some fucking reason. 6 is C.J. Stroud at Cincinnati. 5 is Dak Prescott against the Giants. 4 is Lamar Jackson against the Cleveland Browns. 3 is Justin Herbert against the Detroit Lions. 2 is Joe Burrow against the Houston Texans. And number 1 is Josh Allen against the Denver Broncos. No.
Yeah.
No. The whole fucking – no. Strap the whole fucking thing.
Yep. Start over.
Yeah. Try again. I'll take Burrow ahead of Allen. I'll take Herbert ahead of Allen. I'll take Lamar ahead of Allen. I'll take C.J. Stroud ahead of Allen. Probably take Dak ahead of Josh Allen. Justin Fields doesn't need to be anywhere near the top 10. This list is kind of dog water.
Yep.
And I mean, honestly, 11 through 15, Baker, Purdy, Wilson, Geno, Kyler Murray.
Yep.
I'm good. Shit.
Yeah.
Pass. The whole court. I mean, I'm just.
Geno has a nice bounce back, matchup. It's the kind of matchup where you gotta be like, all right, we can still play football and, you know, we still have a shot at getting in there. Plus, he's also cheap in DraftKings.
more on that later.
Mm-hmm.
Before we continue, we talking about Geno and his bounce back game. Can we talk about how the number 2 quarterback in passing yards in 2023 is Sam Howell?
Sounds about right.
Huck and Chuck and football with the Commodores, as you like to say.
Yeah.
The Lions.
Easy. The NFL. Easy like Sunday morning, baby.
That's it.
They don't have much of a good run game. It's, you know, one week it's Robinson, then maybe you might get a glimpse of something from Gibson. The guy's got to throw the ball, but he's got two really good receivers. And
he's got two really good, a third above average, and a good tight end.
Yeah.
Well, no, Logan Thomas got hurt again.
Shocker.
I know.
In other news, water is wet, ice is cold.
Picked him up, started him.
Yeah, but I'm saying Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin. He's got a good receiver in Curtis Samuel in his number three spot when he's healthy. I mean, he's got weapons. That's not the problem. And Brian Robinson has shown flashes. Here's the real issue, and this is going to sound really bad. It's time to fire Ron Rivera.
Not Riverboat Ron.
Sorry, buddy. You had a shot to Riverboat Ron a couple times this year, and you took the safe bet of punting and kicking the field goal that wasn't Riverboat Ron. You signed Eric Bieniemy to be your offensive coordinator. It's time to let Eric Bieniemy, who's proven that this offense is actually capable of staying in games with the Philadelphia Eagles, it's time for him to now go and take this offense to the next level as the head coach. Go bring in a guy who's a good defensive coordinator, rebuild the defense. I get it. You traded Chase Young. I get it. You traded Montez Sweat. You got some pieces back for that. It made sense because you don't think that this Washington team is going to the playoffs. Guess what? Fire Ron.
Yeah. But as far as, you know, trading away the, you know, Sweat and Young, they're freeing up future money.
Correct.
You know, and that was their best bet. And yes, everything you just said makes total sense. It is time for a new leader in that team. And Bieniemy learned under Andy Reid for so long. Yes, he's ready to be the head coach.
Well, and new ownership group. New coach. It's time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The offense has proven that they can score points. They just got to stop people. You know?
Correct. You got to go spend a little money this offseason going and getting a couple guys on the defensive side of the football.
Yes. But you also got to hopefully maybe be lucky enough to draft one of the top 2 to 3 edge rushers.
Correct. Absolutely.
You know, so it all depends on where they fall in the draft and what they do in the offseason, because it doesn't seem like they're going to be looking to sell off any offensive pieces.
No, at this point, I'm keeping – I mean, maybe I trade Antonio Gibson if somebody wants him as a backup that wants to give me a third or a fourth round draft pick for him, sure. But I'm not trading Sam. I'm not trading Terry. I'm not trading John.
No.
I'm not trading Brian Robinson. You know, maybe they're a team that – you know, one of these random tight ends becomes available and they go get someone that they can keep on the field that isn't Logan Thomas. You know, no offense to Logan Thomas, but the guy just, he can't stay healthy.
No, I think they're done with that experiment too.
Top 15 running backs, Christian McCaffrey at number 1 against Jacksonville, Austin Eckler at 2 against Detroit, Travis Etienne, Alvin Kamara, Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, Kenneth Walker III, Joe Mixon, Rashid White, Aaron Jones, and somehow fucking Bijan Robinson makes the top 15, even though we know he's not going to get a fucking goal line carry.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's not terrible.
I don't hate it. I would have Alvin Kamara ahead of Travis Etienne just because he's going to catch 37 passes in that game.
Yeah.
And in a PPR, I probably have him ahead. Saquon feels really weird at 7 just because you're going to load the box. You're going to load the box against them. You know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you and the way that Dallas' defense is playing, do you really care if Tyrod Taylor or Tony Bags of Meatballs is throwing? Because I don't.
Yeah.
I'm loading the box and making Saquon try to run through 10 people.
It's another one of those. Oh, his name puts him up in the top 10.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but like, and the thing is, Pollard should be ranked higher than Saquon, because not necessarily with Pollard's running this year, but he's going to catch a lot of passes against that Giant defense.
I'll say maybe they're thinking that they'll be pulling a bunch of the starters early because they're up a bunch.
I don't know. Just Dak, get me my 4 or 5 touchdowns early then. Get me my 35 points and I'll be happy.
The top 15 wide receivers. Number 1, I'm going to go ahead and just cross him off of the list. And we're going to start at number 2. Because number 1 is Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh,
okay.
And I don't think he's going to play this week, personally.
Okay.
So it's Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Adam Thielen, Brandon Ayuk, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel, Chris Olave, Michael Pittman, Garrett Wilson, Mike Evans, Terry McLaurin, Devontae Adams. Fucking about time they got this right. It's about time that Devontae Adams was 16th.
Mm-hmm.
I still would put Nico Collins ahead of him, who's sitting at 17, but I digress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and just I'm looking at the same list you are.
Mm-hmm.
Where's T. Higgins going to go?
Oh, he'll go up. He'll go up once Jamar is ruled out.
That's what I'm saying. He'll
he probably goes up in between Mike Evans and Terry McLaurin in that 14, 15-ish range. I see. Here's the thing. I think his value goes up, but I don't think it goes up into the top 10.
No. Not in the top. Not to where Chase would be.
No, because not even close.
I would say maybe top 10, but definitely not.
Yeah. I guess you could fringe top 10 him. You could compare him to a questionable Debo Samuel or a Chris Olave or a Michael Pittman, you know, potentially DK, DeAndre Hopkins, etc. Like, I feel that he does not get above Brandon Ayuk. I think it's seven through two, I think, is locked there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, maybe you can sell me on him having a better matchup than DeAndre or DK or questionable Debo Samuel. You know, but I think he's in that Olave, Pittman, Garrett Wilson, Mike Evans, Terry McLaurin level of the conversation if Jamar is ruled out.
Yeah, if he's the number one, I'd take him over those guys.
You know, and if that's the case, Tyler Boyd's another guy that I think, depending on where he's at in the system right now, he's at 41. I would vault him ahead of guys like Michael Thomas and Christian Watson and Jerry Jeudy, Gabe Davis, etc. You know, personally, I don't know how you have Gabe Davis at 33 and then you have the fucking reception machine of Jacoby Myers at 35, but I digress. You got guys like Cortland Sutton, Jordan Addison, Amari Cooper, and Drake London all ahead of Jacoby Myers too. And all that guy seems to do right now is catch fucking footballs. Look weird. Top three tight ends, because anything after it really doesn't fucking matter. T.J. Hockenson is number one. Mark Andrews is two. Sam Laporta, three. Dalton Kincaid is four. Dalton Schultz is five. Evan Ingram is six. Kittle, seven. Njoku, eight. Ferguson, nine. Trey McBride, 10.
Awesome.
Somehow Taysom Hill is number 11, even though he's going to have four carries for 7 yards and 2 scores. Yards, he might throw scores. One, and he might catch one, too.
Yeah.
He might pull the fucking hat trick of fucking touchdowns, and he's number
That'd
11.
That'd be kind
of
cool.
While he's at it.
You know what? Fuck it. Let him kick an extra point. Who gives a shit? In your top 10 defenses, you have Dallas, Baltimore, the Jets, Seattle, Buffalo, the Bears, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, New Orleans, and the Las Vegas Raiders. Cincinnati ranks dead last. Houston, second to dead last. They're playing each other this week. More on that in a minute.
No, I think the I know they had a bad couple of games, but the addition of Chase Young, and I hate this fucking team, but I'm sorry, I don't see them as the 17th ranked defense. Granted, they're on the road.
So bad.
But granted, they're on the road. But you now have Joey Bosa on one side and Chase Young on the other. Okay, I would love to see my team win the division, but Gino was shitting himself against Baltimore's front four, against the Rams' front four. How do you stop that? You're talking two of the top 3 to 4 edge rushers in the game on one line. Fred Warner.
Yeah.
Number 17, I'm sorry. And yes, you're on the road against Jacksonville. I still like that's at least a good 3 to 4 sacks minimum.
I agree.
Absolutely, you're not wrong. Dallas Cowboys added Martavis Bryant to their practice squad.
Yay!
Martavis Bryant, didn't he play in the Super Bowl against the Cardinals?
He played for Pittsburgh and Oakland.
Yeah.
He was like a first round pick or something.
He was a fourth round pick by the Steelers in 2014. Turns 32 next month.
32?
They sent him to the practice squad.
Sheesh.
What am I thinking of? I'm not thinking of Plaxico. Didn't they have a receiver back in the day on Pittsburgh?
Buddy, I you know your hatred for the Rams. That's my hatred for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Think I give a fuck? You could have told me that the fucking wide receiver was the ghost of Hines Ward, and I'd have been like, all right, cool.
Santana Holmes or whatever? Is that who
Santonio Holmes?
Santonio Holmes?
San Antonio?
Martinez.
Some bullshit like that.
All right.
All right, let's get to the DraftKings portion of our show, and then we'll wrap this bitch up. As always, Sunday slate only. No Thursday, no Sunday night, no Monday for this one. Let's go to this contest so I can look up the prices. All right. Quarterback, Ryan, give me a must start and a value.
Hold on, let me get. Sunday slate only.
Sunday, be there.
Well, I don't like CJ against the Bengals. Man, some shitty fucking matchups, man.
Dude, dog water.
Oh, fucking my God.
Dog water.
Man, I'd have to say must start would probably. Shit, I don't even know. CJ Stroud, you know, I guess if I had to.
He's going for $6,900.
Sure.
Is there a value quarterback that you like?
Give me Gardner. You know my guy.
Oh, Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico, dude.
Let's see what he's going off at this week. I don't see him.
Oh, he's
are they the Sunday night game?
No, it's the fucking.
The morning game. The Germany game.
Yeah, I don't even know. Let's go Josh Dobbs then. For the fucking sake of it.
Fuck yeah. Josh Dobbs. Craig?
Must start, and I don't know how Ryan missed on this one because I'm playing him this Sunday. Goff.
He was a top 10 quarterback. I was going to say he should have been ranked higher, but I didn't want to see fucking bias with Team fucking Detroit.
Yeah. Homer. Right.
You know, you got Geno at 58, or you can go, well, let's see who Mike would go for the value. I like Geno at 58 as well, because you have some nice stacks in either the Detroit game or the Seattle game.
I agree.
I think my must start is, I mean, he looked the best that he's looked all season on Monday night against Buffalo. Give me Joey Burr. Give me Joe Exotic. Even without Jamar Chase, because I stack T. Higgins. I stack probably the kid out of fucking the draft pick that we took. I can't pronunciate his name if my life depended on it. Sign me up for Joe Burr. My value pick may surprise a couple people. It is a road game for a rookie. Give me Will Levis at Tampa Bay.
Yay!
That was the other one I was going to say, but I was like, he's probably going to take him because he's $300. It's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Heinicke against Arizona. I mean, if Heinicke is going to have a game where he puts up 3 and change and 3 touchdowns, it's probably going to be this week against Atlanta. And you stack Jonu Smith in your tight end spot, you probably get him for fucking fairly cheap. I mean, that's another decent stack there. And then depending if Drake London plays, which is questionable, if he does, you might be able to steal Drake in one of your wide receiver spots. So I don't hate those. Honestly, the only quarterbacks that I'm really saying I'm questionable about staying away from completely, Kyler Murray, just because I don't know what he's going to be. Jordan Love at Pittsburgh.
No thanks.
No, I'm good. Deshaun Watson against Baltimore. Pass. Good. Those are really the only 3 quarterbacks that I'm like, nope, I'm good. Stay away from the running back position. Honestly, the must start guy, If you're going to spend the money on it, it's Christian McCaffrey. He catches, he runs, he scores. It's just he's going off at 9,200. It's a lot of money to bet on him or to put on him, but it's still one of those where I think you're smart if you would spend the money there, because your other running back that you get for a little bit on the cheaper side, that's a piece of the offense. I'm going to go with Rashid White of Tampa Bay against Tennessee, 5,800. Got the end zone a couple times last week. Seems to be like they're understanding that Baker Mayfield throwing the football 45-plus times a game is not a good thing. Seems like they want to run the football more. I get it. You have Mike Evans. I get it. You got Chris Godwin. How do you get those guys open a little bit more? By pulling a couple more guys in the box. How do you do it? By handing the ball to Rashid White.
Yeah.
Rhino?
I think I got to go Tony Pollard just because I think if we're going to see a breakout game, this is the one. I don't even know where to go with value because I'm sure your Fords, like I don't have DraftKings. I don't put in lineups. I'm assuming like Fords and some of those guys. You know.
Ford is going off at 5,300.
Okay. I might take a flyer at him.
Craig?
If I'm going must start, I'm going another guy that I have to play against this week. The Sun God.
Sun God.
And for my value, Terry McLaurin. Not Terry.
Jahan Are we Dotson. Going wide receiver right now?
I said running back.
Oh, yeah, my bad. I was wondering where we were at.
Okay.
I'm cool with Amon-Ra St. Brown being a running back. Fuck it.
Yeah, me too.
No, my must start is going to be Pollard and Rashid White is my value guy.
Yeah, you both see the same. Yeah.
Yep. All right, so you took Amon-Ra St. Brown and you're taking Jahan Dotson as your value?
Yeah, for 5K.
All right. Rhino?
I don't like it.
But also, like I said, you know, it depends on, you know, whichever quarterback you go with, because, you know, both the Detroit and the Seattle games are so much value and so stackable.
Yeah I kind of like that too. I mean, I'm not mad at any of that.
Nope.
You know, if you wanted to take a flyer on Quentin Johnson this time to see if it works, sure. If not, if you want to go the other way in the game and then get that wide receiver in it so you can get some value there, sure. But if not, I like Dotson. I think the kid's balling these days.
Ryan, who are your must-starts?
I got to go Sun God, too. I mean, you know, I'm probably stacking Detroit against Craig, so I might as well stack him.
I mean, they're going to win it all or I'm going to lose it all. It's one of the two.
We're going down fucking in flames or we're popping champagne.
Factual. My must-start this week, it's going to depend on the quarterback stack. If you go Joe Burrow, I like T. Higgins at 6,500, especially if Jamar Chase gets deactivated prior to the game. Honestly, I love Nico Collins. If you're going with Will Levis at value, give me DeAndre Hopkins.
I was going to say that too.
I like him at 6,000. Value pick here, if you don't go T. Higgins and Joe Burrow and you go Levis and DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd at 4,600. I like him, especially if he's going to be the number two this week. Or it's a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, against Washington. The number three there, it seems to be that Washington, for some reason, can't really work the slot. You know, if you're going to give Geno a little bit more time to throw the football, maybe one of these guys can get a little bit loose and maybe we can make some plays happen, especially without having Sweat and Young coming off the outside. Causing a little havoc.
You have to generate opportunities and get it into the slot.
Get it into the slot. Your tight end position. I mean, honestly, I don't know that any of them are must starts. If you want Taysom Hill for the touchdown vulturing and value, he's going off at 5,100. Sam Laporta 5,700 against the Chargers. So if you're going with the Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown stack. So give me a little Sam Laporta. Don't hate it. From a value perspective, I like Gerald Everett this week on the opposite side of the field. Because you don't trust any wide receiver not named Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
And if they're going to throw it to a guy vertically down the field, Gerald Everett's the only one that makes sense, because by the time Austin Ekeler gets out of the backfield, he's probably going to get sacked. So, Gerald Everett,
3,900.
So, Greg?
I got a way better value.
Jonnu Smith?
Yeah, sign me up.
Irv Smith Jr., 27.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. That's not bad.
Chase doesn't play.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it.
Or Trey McBride is on 3,500. He's their only tight end. Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You guys look puzzled, like I
asked. No, I was looking up something else.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's Arizona. I'm good.
Yeah, it's the first version of Kyler Murray that we're gonna see.
Yeah.
At this point, I would start Hollywood Brown. Because if there's someone that's going to get a shit ton of targets, I think it's him.
But good value. Definitely see it.
Oh, for sure. Especially if you can get him on the cheap end. Your defense / special teams. I mean, New Orleans, 3,900 against Minnesota and Josh Dobbs. I think that's one that you take into consideration. If you're going to spend the money, you spend the $4,400 on the Dallas Cowboys defense against the Giants.
Yep.
If you're looking for pure value, honestly, Arizona against Atlanta, just because Heinicke and or Ritter have proven that they're not that great.
Yeah.
You know.
Could have got some turnovers in that game.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Heinicke is bound to throw one or two. If Ritter gets in there, he'll probably throw one.
Fumble two.
I mean, you know, the ghost of Jonnu Smith will probably fumble his two carries from the goal line. Yeah, give me Arizona. Does anybody have anything else on the defensive side?
No.
It's pretty bad.
I mean,
these matchups suck.
They really do. I thought last week was bad. This is worse.
San Francisco's 3,600. But, you know, I'm one of those. I want to try to pay as little as possible on my defense
because
mm-hmm. I want, you know, if I can save 300 and it gets me an extra 15 points out of a flex guy, then an extra 5 points out of my defense, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense. You know, all right. Before we wrap this thing up, final segment of the show. Is it time to bench these guys? Gabe Davis. We talked about him 2 weeks ago. Then he comes out and has a big one. Then he comes out and has an absolute fucking dud this week and puts up zero.
Big one.
One against him.
Is it time to bench him?
Depends on who are you subbing him for.
Right.
You know.
I mean, I'm telling you right now. I mean, in my league, and I have him in Billy's league. I benched him. I'm starting T. Higgins and Christian Kirk as my two wide receivers, I'm starting Nico Collins and CeeDee Lamb in my two flex spots.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. So, absolutely.
That's I would start, and honestly, he's probably like seventh on my bench right now. David Montgomery, once I see what they're doing with him, Kyren Williams, when I get him back, James Cook for Buffalo, Jacoby Myers. And he's kind of tearing towards Jerry Jeudy level of, do I want to start him every week?
Fair enough.
So. I mean, well, if you look at it this way, he's boom or bust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot more bust than boom.
And he on your bench, wide receiver?
Hmm?
You said he's your seventh wide receiver?
No, I think he's
seventh option.
He's like my seventh option at someone that I would put in a flex spot.
Okay, but how many receivers do you have on your team? You got six at least.
I'm starting, Jeudy, Jacoby Myers, and him.
So he's your seventh wide receiver. What I'm saying is
yes.
You could have a backup tight end, a backup quarterback, some running back who's maybe taking carries from somebody. So in your situation, yeah, see you, bye.
Yeah, especially whenever the rest of my bench is McLaughlin. McLaughlin in Denver and Mason in San Francisco. So and I could probably cut both of them and pick up random scrubs. And
that's an interchangeable guy that you could have every single week. But if you look at the team right now, who is Gabe Davis starting over?
Nobody.
None.
See you, bye.
Yeah.
That's great. Let somebody else pick him up, and if he goes off, he goes off.
That's the thing. I'm not going to pull a Teddy. I'm not going to cut him because I'm never going to start him again because someone will pick him up and put him in their lineup, and it's probably going to cost me a playoff game. He can sit there in purgatory with McLaughlin and Mason and the ghost injury spot of David Montgomery because fuck it, I cut him, and then you or your brother pick him up, and he goes for fucking 47 against me, and I fucking throw my phone through the fucking window.
Nah. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Your brother would pick him up in a fucking heartbeat. Let's be real. I saw your brother today, by the way.
Yeah, he'd probably pick him up because
You saw Wood today?
Yeah, I saw Wood.
Up at PSL?
No, he was coaching in the morning game.
The tournament.
Oh, nice.
The team we lost to in the semis.
Oh, okay.
And then they lost in the finals.
Oh, nice.
Is it time to bench Damian Pierce?
Yes.
Good, because I benched him in the Dynasty League.
Yeah, well, last week you had to. I benched him in Philly's League.
This week he's playing at Cincinnati, and I don't necessarily...
Oh, I wouldn't play him this week, not coming off of an injury, no shot.
Oh, no, 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 no. See, here's the thing. We didn't check our roster. I won in the Dynasty League with a zero because I left him in my lineup.
Mm. I beat Blake and he only scored 79 points.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, it's almost as bad as 68.
Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy.
I mean, literally, I scored 100.
I had all Detroit on a fucking bye. Plus ETN. Plus, I mean, my whole team was on a bye.
Motown was on fire?
Yeah, Motown. So the D was fucking hanging out in the D. They weren't playing.
How is your team name not Motown Philly?
Should do it.
I made that comment.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I'll say this in the Dynasty League, 152 points, and I got zero from a running back, and I won by 28.
I'm ashamed that I'm in playoff contention in the Dynasty League.
You know, I was going to say everybody we lost the first.
I mean, I was going to say I'm the five, you're the six, we're both 4-5.
But how mid is this fucking league?
It was just so top heavy with us and fucking the guy was undefeated.
I mean, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna be brutally honest. If I have Joe Burrow fucking healthy all fucking season, I probably win a game or two that I lost at the start of the season, and I'm probably right there with Martin or game behind at 6-3. I mean, I started Joe Burrow the first couple weeks getting fucking duds. But
look at it this way: you're in the five right now. And your team is getting better.
Oh, I'm not mad at that. But week one, when you lose by four and Joe Burrow scores you a total of 3 fucking points.
I feel you. I got the Clippers quarterback, my man crush, and he's fucking dog shit this year.
Oh, yeah. Week two, I kind of got lucky that I only lose by 17 points because Trevor Lawrence only scored 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, week three, I put a big one up against Blake.
Oh, yeah. I have Trevor Lawrence and I have Herbert in your league.
Okay. Can we talk about this one? I put up 139 points. I lose. The guy who beats me is 176. I get 4.7 out of Joe Burrow, but I hang a fucking 50 burger from Christian McCaffrey and I still lose. Those are 2 weeks right there that I probably should have won both of those. I really should be 6-3 and a game out of second place right now. If my boy doesn't blow his calf out in a meaningless practice in August.
Yep.
That he shouldn't have even been rolling out because he already had the fucking sleeve on his leg. But I digress.
Right.
And that is
well, like I said, everybody came back to reality. I'm telling you, I lost by 2 points. I would have been in first place. I mean,
no, I know. This is the thing.
We're all fucking coming back to you.
From 1-7. The league is this. It's put it in a fucking vice grip.
Yep.
8, 9, 10,
See you later.
Punt it and let's fucking rebuild.
Yep.
But that's where we'll table that. Anything before we go? Greg?
I'm good.
All right. As always, if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, thumbs up. The Huddle Up Incorporated brand. Head over to Big Jim's Twitter at Big Jim Sports. In there is a link tree where you will find the link to the merchandise over at tpublic.com, as well as the links to the other shows and the ever famous people who actually record the shows. But that's it for the FKC Fantasy Hour. We'll be back next week. Next week is an important one because we'll be finally moving to that final stretch of the regular season. Some trade deadlines will be coming up, and we'll figure out, is there a piece that's going to get you over the hump and get you a fantasy football playoff win? But until next week, we are the Fat Kids. We will see you right here next week on the FKC Fantasy Hour.
Later. Good luck, everybody.
Okay, bye.